Let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we come to the blessed throne of grace. We thank you for a rent veil and a blood-sprinkled mercy seat and access to thee through thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for your arrangements and your rearrangements and the privilege to come. We ask now, Lord, that thou wouldst help us, strengthen me in mind and body. Pray that thou wouldst further all of us, advance us, progress us, mature us, develop us. Oh, Lord, how we need your help. Now we ask these favors in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for thy glory, amen and amen. I'm reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm reading the first 8 verses from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'll ask you just to follow along with me as I read and you hear it. Paul says to Timothy, this being his last word to his young son in the faith, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. After giving him this word about the days to come, he gives a word to Timothy. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Then he says some things about his own personal situation. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. That's reading verses 1 through 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8, grant us that's in my heart for this morning. These verses 6, 7, and 8, have been called Paul's swan song. Now, some believe it's true, some believe it's a legend, but it's said that a swan is somewhat mute until it comes time to die. And then it makes certain sounds, certain mournful sounds that seem to lead up to the hour and the moment of its death. Therefore, these verses have been called Paul's swan song. They lead up to his death. And it seems as though Paul is laying down his arms as a soldier so that Timothy might take them up. Of course, he's already written to Timothy, 1 Timothy. And I'm of the persuasion that after he wrote 1 Timothy, he wrote Titus. And then 2 Timothy became his last words. 2 Timothy being his swan, recording his swan song. Now, I have been meditating on a little phrase that appears 5 times in the Bible. The phrase involves these words, in the process of time. In the process of time. In verse number 6, Paul did not use this phrase, but he said, the time of my departure is at hand. In the process of time, Paul said, I have persevered unto the end. And so for a few minutes, as the Lord would enable me physically, mentally, and with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to preach on the subject of perseverance in the process of time. Now we all know that before Paul ever said that we're to work out our own salvation, he said, it is God which worketh in you, both the will and the do of his own good pleasure. So what is being worked out of us in perseverance is a result of God doing something in us. And so I'd like to say a few things about this matter of perseverance. In a general way, let me say this. We all know that a baby does not grow up in 2 or 3 days. And one who has been born of the Spirit does not grow up in 1 or 2 weeks, or 1 or 2 months, or 1 or 2 years. But it's a lifetime experience of growing in grace and persevering in light. So I'd like to take what Paul says in verses 6, 7, and 8. And I want to say 3 things. Well, I've never said just 3 things, have I? But I'd like to use 3 main points and work around them, dig around them a little bit. I'm not much of a garden person. Kathy grew up on a little farm, so she knows all the tricks and the trades. She said, it may be that your tomatoes didn't grow in the past because you didn't work around them. She said, you got to work around all these vegetables. So I'm learning in my old age how to work around. But really, I think she does a better job, so I'll back off if I can. At any rate, I'd like to work around these 3 little thoughts. In verse number 6, particularly, Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. The word indicates I'm willing to be poured out like a drink offering. I'm ready to die. And he added, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'd like to say something from that verse on this subject, the course of perseverance in the process of time. The course. He's now at the end of it. Secondly, from verse 7, because he talks about wrestling, I've fought a good fight, and running, I've finished my course, and guarding the faith like a soldier, a watchman. I want to say something about the conflicts of perseverance in the process of time. God did not tell us we would not have conflicts. It's part of our journey. It's part of the making of us. Then because he mentions the crown in verse 8, I'd say something before I conclude this morning about the crown of perseverance in the process of time. You may not wear a crown now, but it could be that the Lord would be pleased to give us one in the future. All those who love his appearing. Well, I love him to appear now. I believe I love him in the future appearing, as he shows himself as the Lord of eternity. So with these three little tomato plants, let me work around them a few minutes. Let's begin with that general emphasis in verse 6. The course of perseverance in the process of time. You understand that the Christian life is not to be just haphazard here and haphazard there. But we're followers of Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Samuel, my youngest grandson, who's 26 now. Do I look like I'm getting old? Somebody give me a walking stick, will you? At any rate, for a while, Samuel worked with this outdoor group. They provided sod and all kinds of materials for people who did yard work and large situations as well. He said, Papa, he said, this black man comes in and buys sod for the company he works for. They send him here every week. He said to me, this is Samuel, and I never thought I'd hear him talk like this. God works in us as we go along. Samuel said, Papa, he's a real follower of Christ. Amen. Talking about that black brother. He said he comes in talking about Jesus and talks about Jesus while he's here, and he leaves talking about Jesus, Papa. Amen. He said, pray for me, that I might be more like that. Well, here's a general emphasis about this matter of walking in the light, the course of perseverance. It's not walking in our little ideas and theories and 1, 2, 3s, but it's walking in the light as he is in the light and having fellowship with one another. Well, he seems to be talking about his last part of the course. He said, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to die. No doubt he felt that Nero would cut his head off and his blood would flow like a drink offering in the Old Testament. And he said, I'm now ready for that. I'm ready to be offered, Timothy. I've come to the end of my course. It's taken me a while. I've been in the process of time. But he said the time of my departure is at hand. I've loved this word, departure. It was used in several ways. The primary way it was used in Bible times was taking the moorings up from the ship or from the dock, from the port, untying the ship and loosening it out into the waters to leave the port. Paul said, Timothy, I'm about ready to pull out of port, son. My departure is at hand. It won't be long till I'll be untying the moorings. I'll be setting myself free. So he's talking about the course. Before Of course, I would mention the final course. Let me remind us how he got into port the first time. Now, I've watched as a big cruise liner over here at Port Canaveral was trying to get into port. It's too big. It's too massive. And so there was this little tugboat that came in and got to the front of that big cruise liner and pushed it over. Then it went around, got to the back, pushed it over. Paul came into port the first time in Acts chapter 9. The Lord laid him low, you remember. By the way, he has to do that to all of us. He can't raise us up until he's slain us and brought about death to self and the world. At any rate, after his being broken, the Lord sent a little tugboat over there to Damascus, out of Damascus, by the name of Ananias. Ananias wasn't a big ship. He was just a little tugboat. But he bumped Saul of Tarsus around till he got him into port and told him what God had said about him being a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles, and how that he would be used mightily. That's the first port, Damascus. Ananias was a tugboat for God. I'm rather certain I'll never be a big cruise liner, but I'd like to be in a little tugboat, wouldn't you? I'd like to bump around on somebody, get them into port with God. And then I mentioned briefly the further ports. That was not Paul's last port. He became a missionary from city to city, from port to port. And you remember, he took Barnabas with him the first trip. And they also took little John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, his sister's son. You remember, John Mark didn't last too long. You know, traveling now over 50 years. I've seen folks in church 1 year and then never see them again. They didn't seem to stay involved very long. So John Mark went back home to mama. That's hazology. The Bible doesn't say that. But I've seen a lot that listened to mama more than they did the Holy Ghost. And he went home. He left Paul and Barnabas. Can you imagine being with great evangelists and missionaries like Paul and Barnabas and then leaving them? Well, they decided after he came back, they decided to go again, check on the churches. And Barnabas said, Paul, I think we ought to take John Mark with us. Paul said, we're not taking John Mark with us. And they got in a little heated missionary discussion. You know, the Bible says great men, this is in the book of Job, great men are not always wise. I've made some dumb moves, brother. Great men are not always wise. And Paul said, Barnabas, I'm not taking John Mark. Boy, he got a little riled up. What about that? Somebody said, I can't believe that preacher, that missionary, that evangelist. I can't believe that they'd act like, why, we're all human. And I confess that there have been some divisions along the way. I don't like them, but they've happened. And so Paul said, we're going to take Silas. And really, God used all this fuss to put two mission teams out. Barnabas took John Mark. Paul took Silas. They went two different directions. God was enlarging the coast of missions. That was the further ports that Paul went into here and there. And then here he talks to us about the final port. He said, my departure is at hand. I'm getting ready to go to Rome, Timothy. And in fact, he's probably at Rome as he writes Timothy. But he's saying, it's time now for the big day. My rejoicing day. My departing day. I came in here on the Damascus side, but I'm going to leave here on the Rome side. And I'm headed to a country where there's no real shoreline. It's forever. I say, beloved, this was the course of perseverance in the process of time. I don't know where you came in to port, and I don't know all the ports that we've traveled in time, but in the process of time, there's another port. We may not leave here like Paul did, but we're all going to unloose the ropes. And we're going to pull out a port. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I've been here in the port for a while, here and there. But that last port will come. Kathy said, are you afraid to go into surgery? I said, Kathy, I'm going to be honest. I was telling this a while ago. I said, I'm going to be honest. I don't worry about surgery. I don't worry about me going in there and them cutting on. I said, the thing that bothers me is every time I think about them using that saw to cut my breastbone open, I said, my feet go to sweating. So it got real to me a little bit. Even now, if I talk about it, they'll sweat a little bit. But I'm thankful they don't cut you from your goozle all the way down to your navel now. I just got about a 6 to 8 inch scar. But I'm saying we shouldn't fear all these various hardships and conflicts. We're headed for a city. We're headed for home. The final port. We'll sail out of here one day. And so I mentioned firstly the course of perseverance in the process of time. Secondly, I want to mention the conflicts of perseverance in the process of time. Paul mentions this in three ways. I have fought a good fight. That doesn't sound like he's been doing nothing but eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, does it? He's had some battles. He's had some struggles. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. That doesn't sound like he's just been sitting around eating pie. No, he's been running a race. And then he said, I've kept the faith. That doesn't sound like he's been taking it easy while everybody else did the work of the gospel. No, he's guarded the truths, the body of truth, the word of God, the faith. I would mention these three conflicts just for a moment. I wanted my boys to play baseball. I felt like they had capabilities, my grandboys. By the way, now, Thomas, my oldest grandson, he and his wife, Casey, they've got three sons, so I've got three greats now, son. At any rate, maybe they'll play a little ball. I felt like I told this to Brother Tim the other day, I played baseball, played basketball, any other kind of ball they'd let me. I feel like it kept me out of prison, to be honest with you. I had a streak in me where I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And that coach had a streak in him. He's ready to beat it out of me. At any rate, I couldn't make a I couldn't make a ball player out of them. I even went out to the field and hit fly balls to them. Had them hit fly balls to me. I just knew something to work on, work over on it. No, it didn't take. And you know what they ended up doing? Riding bulls. Lord have mercy. I missed it by a long shot, didn't I? But I guarantee you now they wish they'd played ball. One of them limps from one of them stepping on him. The other's got a big scar in his belly where another one stepped on him. And that's about the end of the bull riding. I said, you boys like bull riding? Thomas Molderson said, Papa, I watch it every now and then, but I'm not too crazy about it. At any rate, this matter of sports has got an athleticism, it's got an involvement of conflict. He's talking here about being a wrestler. I have fought a good fight. He said, somehow I've made it through different rounds, and now I'm at the end of this thing. I have fought a good fight. Now, this is not a general emphasis. This is a personal emphasis. May I remind you that we're not in a little party. We're persevering. We're moving forward. Some of us are not doing very much. We're making just a little movement. But I want to, do you? I want to please Him. It's like Kathy, I'll tell her, Kathy, you're so kind, so gentle. I don't think I'd have been that kind to that person. She said, Tom, I want to be. I said, well, that's the reason you are, I guess. You want to be. I got a mean streak in me somewhere. I'm saying, beloved, this thing of wrestling is a very good depiction of the Christian experience of perseverance. We struggle with the enemy. We struggle with false doctrine out here. We struggle with people and their attitudes. Brother Tim and I went out to eat last night. There's a man sitting at the table next to us. It may have been because he's drinking too much. But I never heard such bragging and such bossing. And you'd think that he's the only man on planet Earth. But I knew better. I saw his wife do this to him one time. He got too loud. I figured she has more boss than he had in him. At any rate, the fact is, brother, we wrestle against flesh and blood. And more than that, we wrestle not just against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, brother, we wrestle, we wrestle. Some wrestle to get to church on Sunday. Some wrestle to pray over their food at work. Some wrestle to be a witness to their neighbor. Some wrestle in their inner being to move towards God. Some wrestle in their minds. Some wrestle in their emotions. I say we're wrestlers. Paul said, I just want you to know, Timothy, I'm finishing all my wrestling. I'm coming to the last round. I have fought a good fight. The conflicts of perseverance. Oh, boy. You heard about a fella. He said he knew he was a preacher because he woke up one morning, didn't want to go to work, and wanted to eat fried chicken. Well, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. And you don't just wake up one morning saying, glory be to God, I'm moving forward. I'm going on with God. No, you wrestle with it. You struggle with it. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. A struggle. Then there's not only the conflict of perseverance as seen in that of a wrestler, but in that of a runner. Now, I've never been a good runner. I think, and I'm so grateful it happened, I think I missed my basketball scholarship in college because of my lack of speed. the coach who watched me, the college coach that had been talking to me, he watched me. He said, I like your jump shot. I like that movement towards the basket. But he said, you're too slow, son. You're too slow. And so I wasn't offered the scholarship. In fact, the boy that I played against was running me ragged. You think that coach didn't see it? Oh, he saw it. May I say, this thing of running is not always being the best runner, but it's making sure you come to the end of your running. You persevere. And you say, I not only fought a good fight, but I finished my course. I have finished my run. That's the only thing I enjoyed about track meets was some fella behind another fella and him looking back to see how close he was, which you weren't supposed to do, and then falling and this fella running over him. I don't know why that's funny to me, but it was in high school. And it's not too funny now. In fact, I don't even like a car to ride my bumper, do you? At any rate, I'm saying, brother, it's a conflict in this wrestling and in this running and going forward, advancing in the pilgrim journey. Oh, Lord, help me wrestle. Help me run until I finish my course. And then he used a third thought. He said, I have kept, the word indicated, guarded. I have been a guardian of the faith. I've been like a soldier standing guard. He said, I have done my best to preserve the truth, to preach the truth, to side with the truth, to talk to others about the truth, and to give them this basic unraveling of truth that God has given us. The faith, once delivered unto the saints. We're not left our little, the figment of our imagination. It isn't that you just think, I believe I'll go this way. Oh no, we're following truth. We're walking in the truth. John said, I delight that your children are walking in truth. Yeah, boy, that's the way it is too. Conflicts. Have you ever heard so much junk in our day, religious junk? And some people just love it. Now, when it comes to teaching and preaching the Bible, they put me to sleep, somebody say. They put me to sleep. In other words, they got to have somebody jumping on the platform with an out-of-tune guitar and lights flashing and smoke a-boiling, and then that gets them excited. Oh, that our hearts might love truth, divine principles, and walk in truth. There's a conflict there, and a very big one in our age. And then, let me say this about my oldest daughter. Her and her husband decided to get out of the smaller church and go to the more exciting church. Now, after 3 years, actually it's been about six now, but 3 years ago, they left the exciting church and went back to his old home church. And I was so glad, because the pastor there loves people and he loves the Bible. And he gives the Bible. And then they tell me what he preached. And I say, y'all just hang right in there. Stay right in there with it. I'm talking to you about the conflict, not only of a wrestler and a runner, but a soldier. This body of truth. One writer called this the faith, the sacred deposit of the gospel. Paul said, I kept the faith. Amen. Now before we go, I'd like to mention lastly the crown of perseverance in the process of time. Now it is true that I haven't reached my departure point yet, but in the process of time, that'll be the end of perseverance. And it's true that I have not fought my last battle and run my last leg, and I haven't guarded the faith for the last time. But the day will come when I'll be able to say, I have fought it. I have stayed the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, Paul said, there's laid up for me, he was confident of it, in his dying hours, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, the pastor said earlier, that God always does right. He's the righteous judge, brother. He shall give me that crown at that day. He's talking about down the way in the process of time. And not to me only. There might be some hope for some of us yet. Not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. The crown of perseverance is going to involve the righteousness of Christ. He'll do right. It's going to involve the recognition of Christ, not to me only, but to others. It's going to involve the relationship with Christ. He'll appear to them that love his appearing. We're not wrapped up in religion, we're wrapped up in a relationship. Now forgive me for talking about my family. I didn't marry your wife, so I can't talk about our family. I have to talk about my family. And Thomas, my oldest grandson, decided he wanted to run track. He thought I'd be proud of him. And I was just so limited in my running, I wasn't too crazy about track. Well, he said, Papa, we got a track meet. He said, there's about 7 schools coming to our school, and we're going to run our course. And he said, I'm running. I'm in the group. He said, you think you can come? I said, well, I've got about an hour and a half to drive this afternoon, but I can stay till you run, I believe. And so I did. And he was out there, you know, exercising, pulling, straining. He's trying to get ready for the run. And he don't have Hayes as the last name, but he sure would pass for one. I was watching him and thinking about my high school days. He was working. He came over and said, Papa, I think I'm ready. I said, oh, you got it, boy. Just get in there and run with them. Don't let them run over you now. Don't let them run off and leave you. You just run in there with them. Like I knew what I was talking about. And so the gun went off, and the course sort of went down a hill, went around behind some trees, came back up the hills around a little pond, came right back around where I was standing. He was running about 5th. I said, hang in there, boy. Hang in there. You got it. Stay with him. Well, that second lap, trimmed it down a little bit. And several of them got behind. And he's coming in around 9th or 10th. I said, don't lay it down. Come on, pick it up. You got it. Go on now. And he went down for that last mile. And he came in about 20 seconds. I could tell it killed him. He ran out. He didn't pace himself right somehow. So he came in way back in the pack. Of course, there's about 35 of them, 7 schools. Anyhow, he came over to me, his drooped head down. I said, don't worry about it. You'll get to run again. That's not the last time. You'll do better next time. Papa, I thought I'd do better. I said, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Well, he went on around, talked to his mama, talked to others, come around back to me. He said, Papa, I didn't win, but I did finish, didn't I, Papa? I said, that's it, that's it. Listen, I may not be in that front pack. I may not come in first, second, third, fourth. I may come in 22nd, way on past that. But I'd like to finish the race, wouldn't you? I'd like to run the course that He set before us in the process of time. I may not be able to do it all tomorrow or next year, but I'd like to persevere in the process of time. Don't throw up your hands now. We've still got a lap or two. We've still got some wrestling to do. We've still got some truth to guard. Just keep moving. Keep going. Somebody said, but Tom, I get tired. I'm not good in this. Do what you can. Make sure you finish. Make sure you come up on that last line. May the Holy Ghost put it in our hearts. Would you stand with me? Your heads are bowed.